Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I am reading to you a passage of Scripture from Paul's Epistle to the Roman Christians, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In this single passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul discusses the beginning, the spread, and the consequence of sin. Sin had a beginning. Sin spread throughout the world. Sin has a consequence. The beginning of sin was as by one man sin entered into the world. Through Adam, sin entered into the world. We have the record in the Bible concerning the entrance of sin into the world. Genesis chapter 3 presents to us what we sometimes call the fall of humanity. It was in this chapter of Scripture that Satan entered into the Garden of Eden, tempted the created couple, Adam and Eve, to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God had commanded them not to partake of this fruit. Satan, the devil, or the tempter, enticed them to go against what God had prohibited. As a result, sin entered into the world. Sin has spread. It has passed upon all men. All have sinned. From that moment in Genesis chapter 3 until this very moment, all who have lived upon the earth, every son and daughter born of woman, has sinned. They have transgressed the law of God. They have violated the prohibition that God has given. They have failed to live up to the standard that God has established. As a result, sin has passed upon all men. The consequence of sin is death. Humanity dies when they sin against God. Spiritual death comes upon every individual that sins against God. Death is a separation. In this world, we are aware of physical death, and we understand that every time death occurs, there is a separation. There is a separation from this life. There is a separation from those whom we love and know. Death is a separation from God as a result, as a consequence of sin. Hence, the Apostle Paul says that sin began by one man. Sin has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And as a result, all have died. Sin entered into the world. All have sinned. Death is the result. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 presents unto us the beginning, the spread, and the consequence of sin. Paul in the Roman letter gives a discussion to sin. In Romans chapter 6, he mentions the servitude of sin. Those who sin become a servant of sin. They become a servant of the devil. Sin brings us into slavery. At Romans 6 and verse 12, Paul the Apostle wrote, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that we should obey it in the lust thereof." The Apostle uses the word reign and the word obey. Both of these words suggest servitude. A king rules over an empire or reigns over a people. A master reigns or rules over a servant. In this verse of Scripture, the Apostle Paul says that sin is the master. and we are the servants. We are the slaves. Sin comes to reign in our mortal body, and as a result of that reign, we obey it in the lusts thereof. We obey sin because we allow sin to reign in our mortal body. Satan causes us to sin through the flesh. Satan appeals to our lust. Therefore, when we surrender to that lust, when we allow sin to reign in our mortal body, we become the slave or the servant of sin. This means that sin is not easily escaped. Sin is not easily refused. We may sin, even not meaning to sin, because we have allowed sin to reign in our mortal body, and thus we become obedient to the lust thereof. Jesus had spoken of this servitude during his ministry in John 8 and verse 34. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." The word "committeth" in that passage of Scripture presents us with the idea of continuous servitude, continuously committing sin, given over to sin, having surrendered ourselves to sin, allowing sin to dictate how we act, how we think, and what we say. Hence, the Bible speaks of the servitude of sin. We become the servants of sin, but we make a choice concerning sin. The apostle discusses our choice concerning sin. Romans 6, verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse 16, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." The Apostle Paul uses the word "yield your members." We make a choice. We decide whether or not we are going to sin. We decide to whom we yield the members of our body. We determine whether we will be instruments of unrighteousness or we will be instruments of righteousness. We make a choice concerning sin. We must make the right choice. We must refuse sin. We must not allow sin to control us, to dominate us. We must not allow sin to reign over us and rule us so that we become the masters of sin. The Church of Jesus Christ, in preaching the gospel of Christ, must oppose sin. Those who preach Christ must oppose sin. We preach against sin. We preach that individuals who sin are in violation of the will of God. They trespass the will of God. They become workers of iniquity, workers of unrighteousness. The Bible uses all of these terms to describe our involvement with sin, and the Church of Jesus Christ must oppose sin. We must oppose sin first because sin caused the death of Christ. God sent Jesus into the world because of sin. Jesus the Christ took upon himself flesh and blood, became as a man, lived upon the earth, having departed from the heavenly realm because of sin. But not only that, Jesus suffered death for our sins. Jesus took into his mortal body all of the sins of humanity so that he could appease the wrath of God, so he could become a cleansing agent for sin and a remedy for sin. Sin is a terrible malady. Sin causes untold sorrow. Sin brings us to the depth of regret. Sin will destroy families. Sin will destroy reputations. Sin will destroy individuals. Sin will cause disease and heartache and affliction. We must oppose sin. We must not sin against the God of heaven, but rather we must walk in His righteousness. We must obey His will. We must do the statutes and the commandments that He has delivered unto us. Jesus suffered death because of our sin, and He suffered the death of the cross. Jesus did not come into the world simply to die for sin, but rather He offered Himself for sin. Calvary is a reality because of sin. Sin is that dark episode in human history where Jesus died for the sins of the world. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5, this Old Testament prophet had written, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Isaiah is looking through the telescope of prophecy to predict that Jesus Christ is going to come into the world, and He's going to be wounded, He's going to be bruised, He's going to be chastised, He's going to suffer stripes. Why? Transgressions, iniquities, sin. 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Jesus Christ suffered for sin. Jesus was righteous. Jesus was perfect. Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. But He suffered for sins. Jesus the just suffered for the human family, the unjust, because of sin. He suffered death. Death for Him was great suffering, for the cross was a horrible way to die. We oppose sin because sin caused the death of Jesus Christ. But we oppose sin because sin is a curse to mankind. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, "It shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." God, in giving His instruction to the nation of Israel, had outlined curses that would afflict them if they did not hearken unto His voice, if they did not observe to do all His commandments and His statutes which He commanded them. God is the ruler of the universe. God is the authority of humanity. God must be obeyed. You and I must be willing to hearken, to listen to the voice of God, and we must be willing to observe or obey all His commandments and all His statutes. God said, "If you do not do this as a people, then these curses that I have mentioned shall come upon you." Sin brings a curse to humanity. Sin has caused all of the hate and all of the injustice and all of the malice that is present in the world. We sometimes look to a particular race of people as the reason for prejudice or the reason for hate. But sin has cursed humanity with hate, with malice, with anger, with affliction. We are diseased because of sin. We suffer afflictions because of sin. We suffer separations because of sin. Sin has destroyed families. Sin has caused broken homes. Sin has caused individuals to suffer great ailments and great affliction and great disease because sin is a curse. Humanity can delight in sin. The Bible even mentions the pleasures of sin for a season. But ultimately, sin brings its consequence. Sin brings malady. Sin will bring heartache. Sin will bring guilt. Sin will bring regret. These are the curses of sin. And because of that curse, we must oppose sin. You must see, as we have already presented, the ugliness of sin. There is nothing beautiful about sin. Sin is a malady that has afflicted the human family and brought upon humanity great disaster, even to the point of separation from the Almighty God. There are people who do not believe that union with God is important. There are individuals who do not desire the love of God and the fellowship of God. But even though they may not desire that, sin will create a divide between them and God. Sin causes humanity to be separated from God, to be under the servitude and the slavery of sin. I want to mention to you two truths concerning sin. I want you to recognize these truths concerning sin. The first is sin is rebellion against God. Sin is a stubborn refusal to do what God says do, to obey the will of God is rebellion. And sin rebels against the authority, the will of God. Sin does not recognize the authority of God. In the Garden of Eden, Satan told Eve that what God had spoken to her was not really true. Satan told Eve that what would happen to her, or what God had said would happen to her, would not happen. And as a result, she rebelled against that authority. She did what God prohibited her to do. Sin rebels against God. One example in the Old Testament is Cain. Cain was the son of Adam and Eve. Cain and his brother Abel had grown to adulthood. And Genesis chapter 4 tells us that they were offering sacrifice unto God. Abel brought a meat sacrifice as God required. Cain, on the other hand, brought a harvest sacrifice, a vegetable sacrifice. God was not pleased with the sacrifice of Cain, because it was not the type of sacrifice that God required. We cannot simply offer God a sacrifice. We must offer Him the sacrifice that He desires. We must not simply do what we desire to do for God, but rather we must do what God has required us to do for Him. We must have a thus saith the Lord for everything. And so in the situation of Cain and Abel, God said to Cain in chapter 4 and verse 7 of the book of Genesis, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Cain had not done well. He had not offered what was acceptable, and as a result, Cain had sinned. You and I can do the same today. We can refuse to do what God has told us to do. We can refuse to do it in the manner which God has said to do it. Another example is found in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul has been appointed king of Israel. Israel had desired a king. God allowed them to have a king, and Saul was anointed as king. As king, God commanded Saul to go down and destroy the Amalekites. The Amalekites had refused to allow the children of Israel to pass through their land in their journey from Egypt. And as a result, God had promised the Amaleks that he would return and he would punish them. And so now, sometime later, God is going to carry out his punishment upon these people. Saul goes down, but he does not obey exactly and precisely God's instructions. He was told to completely destroy all of these people, even children and infants, every man and every woman, all of the flocks and herds. The name of this people was to be destroyed completely from the earth because they refused to do what God wanted them to do. Punishment always comes to us when we refuse to obey God. When King Saul was on his way back from the battle, having brought the king and having brought the best of the flocks and the herds to offer in sacrifice to God, Samuel the prophet came to meet him. And he said, 1 Samuel 15:23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Saul rebelled against the will of God. Saul rebelled against the authority of God simply because he did not follow the instructions that God has given. If you and I fail to follow the instructions that God has given, which are recorded for us in the pages of the New Testament, Matthew through Revelation, we will be in rebellion to God. We will be guilty of sin against God. We will be workers of iniquity. The second truth that we must remember and understand, sin brings God's consequences. We are accountable for our sin. We must answer for our actions. We will be rewarded for those actions which are good and which are obedient to the will of God, but we will be punished for those actions which are in rebellion to the will of God and which violate the will of God. An example is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. The scripture says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Beliah. They were sons of the devil. They were sons of wickedness. They were priests unto God, but they did not act. They did not live according to the moral code that God had given. They knew not the Lord. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." If you read 1 Samuel chapter 2, you will find the sin that these young men committed and how they did not have God in their knowledge, how they abhorred the offering of the Lord. They violated, transgressed, belittled what God had commanded. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 14, the scripture says, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." The sons of Eli had reached a point in their commission of sin that any sacrifice or any offering was incapable of purging that iniquity. You and I must be careful in our life so that we do not reach a point where our heart becomes so estranged from God that it becomes hardened against the commandment of God, and nothing can be done to atone for our transgression. The iniquity of Eli's house. Eli, as the high priest, overlooked the iniquity of his children. He allowed them to continue in this rebellious behavior. He did not punish them because they had sinned against God, but he just overlooked that sin. Sin cannot be overlooked. Sin cannot be tolerated. Sin must be confronted. And so now in Eli's house, there was going to be the consequence of sin. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, we have a record of the consequence of the sin of the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and Eli himself. It was not that Eli sinned, but he allowed his sons to sin. He did not reprimand them. He did not discipline them. He did not reject them. Verse 11, verse 17 and 18, 1 Samuel 4. And the ark of God was taken. Philistines came into the land. They took the ark of God. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. They were killed because of their sin. These foreign people, these enemies of God, came into the land, took the Ark of the Covenant, killed Hophni and Phinehas. This is the consequence of their sin. And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines. And there hath also been a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, he's come to Eli, he's told them what has happened. Thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, he judged Israel 40 years. Sin has a consequence. Sin brings God's wrath. Sin brings punishment. Matthew 25:46, Jesus pointed to the judgment to come and the certain consequence of sin and the blessing of obedience. He said, These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Sin must be acknowledged. We must confess our sin. We must understand that we are in need of forgiveness, that we must submit ourselves to God and seek to be forgiven by Him. And so we must acknowledge our sin. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells the story of two men who go into the temple to pray. One of those men is a self-righteous man, and he prays thus with himself. But the other man is a publican, and he prays in this manner. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man confessed his sin unto God, and as a result, he went down to his house justified. There must be confession and there must be repentance. In Luke 3 and verse 8, John the Baptist, preaching to that great multitude, said, Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. John the Baptist preached that they must repent, and that repentance must be shown in the fruits that their life would bear in the future days. Proverbs 28:13 states, He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Sin has entered into the world by one man. sin has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And the consequence of that sin is death. But there is hope. There is forgiveness. There is life. Through the mercy of God and the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must confess our sin. We must repent of our sin. And to remove those transgressions, if we have not already, we must be baptized into Christ for the remission, the forgiveness, the removal of those sins. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.